is Jared and the GM on ESPN 102.5 The Game. The quarterbacks work out tomorrow night, or I guess tomorrow day and tomorrow night at the Combine from 2 until I think 10.
Is that it?
Yeah, it's late.
Wow.
It's a lot. Did you used to watch that much working out when you would go to the Combine?
You would start, and they would do three groups a day. You start in the morning at, I think it was 7:30. And however long it took to get the three groups in, usually into the middle afternoon, you know, say 3 o'clock or so. And then you go start interviews and stuff.
So I got to do with Buck this morning. Buck Rising used to be here. Now he's with A to Z Sports. He's in Indianapolis at the Combine. And I got into it with Buck because I was reading Buck's column, which I occasionally do. And I was reading his column, and he was talking about what John Robinson said about Derrick Henry yesterday when John was effusive in his praise of Derrick Henry and said that they wanted Derrick Henry back. Even though Floyd took nothing from that, I took everything from that, which is probably not a surprise to the people out there. But I took everything from that. And Buck wrote this. In the case of Robinson and Henry, having expressed a desire to retain Tennessee's most irreplaceable player can certainly be genuine. Most irreplaceable player? And I thought to myself, Derrick Henry is not the most irreplaceable player on the Titans. If for no other reason he's not the most irreplaceable player, because of the position he plays, which is running back. And I love Derrick Henry. And I used to get into it with Buck when he was on this station because Buck thought they should get rid of Derrick Henry and thought Deion Lewis should have been their starting running back and that was ridiculous. And I kept saying, go let the big dog eat and all of those things. But you can't tell me Derrick Henry is the most irreplaceable player on the Titans. I wonder if Derrick Henry is not less important than Jack Conklin when it comes to thinking about how you're building your football team. And even though a lot of people may not think Ryan Tannehill's very good, which that's their prerogative. You can think however you want. You can't tell me that Henry is more important than Tannehill because Tannehill plays quarterback, and quarterback is the most important position in that league. And the salaries will tell you what the irreplaceable players and irreplaceable positions are. And so when I read that this is the most irreplaceable player on the Titans, I thought that's crazy. Do you agree with Buck that Derrick Henry is the most irreplaceable player on the Titans?
Well, no. A quarterback is always the most irreplaceable guy. And then I think, you go from there. I always looked at it from how hard is it to get a replacement of similar production. And so that always starts with a quarterback because you can go draft a guy number one and he may never, ever pan out. And by the same token, you may draft a guy later than that. He becomes all pro. Who knows? But you just don't know that. Other positions, I think you've got a chance to, the hard part about the running back position is it's one of the easier to replace. And by that, I mean, if you look at the draft and who comes out on a yearly basis, the chances of a rookie running back or a young running back, a running back that hasn't played much, coming in the league and starting and playing really well is much higher than for a quarterback or even a tackle. A tackle is much more difficult to find to play at a high level than is a running back. And that's part of the problem with, running backs and their values.
And I just think that you have to understand that Derrick Henry gets this. That's why Derrick Henry, when he went on Taylor Lewan's podcast, he clarified his comments about, the Zeke is the floor comments. He clarified those because he knows that he's not going to be the highest paid running back in the NFL because he knows he's replaceable. I mean, Derrick Henry was your fourth pick in a draft, and I love Derrick Henry. I mean, I don't think there's any person that would say the Tennessee Titans have a shot at being the same team that they were last year without Derrick Henry. I don't think anybody would say that. He is a very key cog to this team. But I don't think he's the most irreplaceable player. And I think when you're building a team or you're talking about a guy like John Robinson, I think you really, when you use a term irreplaceable or most irreplaceable, I think you really need to have a sense of how serious that is, if that makes any sense. Like, how many players were irreplaceable when you were the GM of the Titans?
Irreplaceable?
Uh-huh.
I mean, it boils down to the same, which positions are the toughest to find. Quarterbacks, tackles, corners, defensive ends, those are always the positions that are really hard to find. And consequently, they're harder to replace. So I think that's probably, you know, that's how I would answer it. And it's, I think it's going to be the same no matter what. That's, you know, whether they're good, bad, indifferent.
I think there's a lot of things that play into this. And I just didn't, I mean, I just think that I asked the question I think I asked yesterday on the air. And I definitely sent this, I tweeted this out this morning when Buck and I were getting into it. But I tweeted it out this morning and it was, okay, you tell me what's worse for the Titans. Ryan Tannehill at quarterback and J.K. Dobbins at running back. I lose Derrick Henry and I use my first round pick on J.K. Dobbins. Or I sign Melvin Gordon. So Ryan Tannehill and Melvin Gordon or Jameis Winston and Derrick Henry. Which one would you rather have? Well, Jacob Eason and Derrick Henry. Which one would you rather have? And I, again, love Derrick Henry. But I just think that the quarterback, and this is why I think it's so dumb to worry about all the non-Tannehill options, although it does, you know, I mean, it's definitely a driving factor of this show, but is the fact that you've spent 15 years looking for a quarterback who can do anything for you, and Ryan Tannehill's done that in 10 games.
And we're going to dump him.
I mean, people are talking about it.
Yep. I don't, I mean, I don't think there's any doubt, but that, you know, quarterback is a much more important position. I would put tackle number two. I'd put running back three.
Who would you say is more irreplaceable for the Titans? Kevin Byard as a safety or Derrick Henry as a running back?
More irreplaceable?
Uh-huh.
That's a good one. I don't know. That's probably tied.
And I'm not in love. I mean, with Byard, I like Byard. I'm not sure Byard's worth the amount of money they're paying him. But he's a core player, and he's a good guy, and he's a good teammate, and he's important for this team. So I'm not knocking on Byard. But I don't think Byard is the end-all, be-all of what you do. Now, he did have a huge interception in that Baltimore game. So as much as we've kind of dogged his interceptions, saying, hey, they come against Joe Flacco or they come against Cleveland and he never really runs them back. He did run that one back against Baltimore. It was a pretty big one. But
yeah, and you're going to – my point is that, you know, you probably have as good a chance finding a safety out there that could come in and play and help you as you do running back. You know, they're probably very similar from that standpoint.
Okay, what about a Dory? Who's harder to find, a Dory Jackson or a Derrick Henry?
Oh, corners are always harder to find.
Although, but I do think that Derek is a better running back than Adoree is a corner.
Yeah, corners are always harder to find.
So if it was cap crunch time and it was Floyd, you can either keep Henry or Jackson. You would keep Jackson?
I'd almost always keep the corner, yeah.
In this case, would you keep Jackson over Henry?
I would keep the corner, always.
Okay, so then that goes back to, again, Buck's theory that Derrick Henry's the most irreplaceable tight. It's just not true. And it's like, well, name a guy who's more – like, I would get laughed at if I said that Adoree Jackson was more irreplaceable than Derrick Henry. And yet, you just said Derrick Henry is – it's easier to replace Derrick Henry than it is to replace Adoree Jackson. I mean, the truth
See, what did I say? It's easier to find a running back than it is to find a corner.
No, but then I pinned you down on this specific issue, and you said Jackson over Henry.
It's always easier to find a running back than it is to find a corner.
And then I pinned you down on this specific one, and you said that.
It's always easier to find a running back than it is to find
a corner.
You got
that short-term amnesia. No. You just said Jackson over Henry.
I don't trust your ears for anything.
You just said Jackson over Henry. We all heard it. Now, I just, again, and I'm not taking any issue with it. There is an element to what Buck wrote that I do want to get into, that I do wonder if there is some truth to that, and maybe Robinson used his words for that. Find it to be very interesting. We'll do that next. Plus, we'll get right back to your phone. 615 617-737-1025 is the phone number, 615-737-1025. Text in keyword KICK to the game text line at 615-737-1025 now for your chance to win a pair of tickets to the season home opener for Nashville SC. Not just the season home opener, but the MLS opener at Nissan Stadium on Saturday. Get excited for that. So text KICK into the text line if you want to be a part of that. Let me tell you about my friends at Manscaped. That's right. They've successfully created the greatest below-the-waist trimmer ever, the new Lawnmower 3.0. We all know grooming is essential nowadays, and I'm sure a lot of guys are still hesitant to Manscaped. You're afraid you might cut yourself. A very understandable fear. That's why Manscaped has redesigned the electric trimmer, their Lawnmower 3.0. It features a cutting-edge ceramic blade to prevent those scary accidents so this trimmer won't nick or snag your skin. The Enhanced 3.0 has a longer battery life, charging station, and LED light for a safe, precise job. Go to manscaped.com, try the Lawnmower 3.0, get 20% off and free shipping when you use discount code NASH. That's manscaped.com, discount code NASH. Jared in the GM, live from the wholesaling studio, powered by rumbleon.com. Our big, long commercial-free segment is next.
Derek had a great year for us. I mean, he led the league in rushing. He built off the second half of the 2018 season that he had. He cares about his teammates. He works hard. He's great in the community. And we're going to work through that one and do everything we can to try to keep him around.
John Robinson basically putting it in blood that Derrick Henry, that they will make every attempt to try to retain Derrick Henry. And I go back to Buck Rising's piece on A to Z Sports. And I do wonder if there's a reason why Robinson said it. Floyd, you've said that John Robinson would not get up in front of a room of strangers and say something like that or something definitive if you didn't have a reason to do it, right?
Well, no. I mean, he wouldn't get up in front of a room and say something definitive. That room and say something definitive for any reason. I mean, there's absolutely no need for him to do that.
But, as Buck writes, the following, quote, "What it can also be is a way of positioning the Titans as the sympathetic party if the terms are not agreed upon and Henry walks. By stating publicly that they'd like to have number 22 in their backfield for all of the media to hear, Robinson allows for another narrative to be created if a deal does not get done. It's the same narrative seen at least once every offseason. The narrative that is, as Buck said, quote, well, we tried to bring him back, but his demands were just too high. What a selfish player Derrick Henry must be, end quote. Do you agree with Buck that Robinson used what he said about Henry to position themselves in case they can't keep Derrick Henry?
I don't believe that he meant anything other than trying to get off the stage. He just wanted to get out. He would have said anything,
Floyd,
if it would have finished it.
There's a reason he said it. He didn't need to say that. You keep acting like John Robinson's words don't matter, like that nothing that he ever says will ever matter, which generally speaking is true because he almost never says anything of value or substance. But in this case, he showed definitive interest in retaining Derrick Henry, and there's a reason he did it, and you're just pretending like what he said didn't. I'm willing to listen to all ideas. That Robinson is using it to prove to other free agents of, hey, we're serious. We're keeping Derrick Henry. We're serious. I'm willing to entertain Buck's idea that maybe Robinson is going to tag Tannehill so he won't have control over what happens to Henry, and then Henry signs somewhere else, and it's like, well, we tried to sign him. We told you we were going to sign him. But you can't tell me that Robinson's words didn't mean anything yesterday when he was talking about Derrick Henry.
You know what? You could take whatever you want to out of him. I mean, tomorrow somebody else will come in with another one. You'll be wanting to take that. It doesn't make any difference to me.
But he's the general manager of the Titans.
Anything you want out of it. You can take he wants to keep him. You can take he really subconsciously wants to get rid of him. I mean, and anything in between. I mean, it doesn't bother me one way or the other.
But you can't say that there's nothing to what he said.
Again, you can take whatever you want to out of it. You just went, think about what you've done the last 2 days. Out of the same statement, you've gone from this is an indicator of how strongly they want to keep him to now this is an indicator that they really want to keep Tannehill But
I didn't say that.
If they lose him, now they'll feel will get sympathy.
That's Buck's take. That's not my take.
He will end up being the bad guy because he was greedy.
That's not my take. I asked you if you agreed with Buck's take. That's not my take.
I don't agree with any of it. But you could take, like I said, I mean, this is silly. I mean, I don't. You can take it any way you want, and I have absolutely no problem with it. Like I said,
I mean, you act like everybody that says everything doesn't matter. You don't think what Bruce Arians said yesterday about Jameis Winston matters? When Bruce Arians started talking about other quarterbacks and said,
"I don't know about Bruce Arians, and I don't care about Bruce Arians. I do know John Robinson, and I do know Mike Vrabel.
You do know
and
Bruce Arians.
I do know Bill Belichick. I do know." Some of these guys that I've worked with and been around, and this is just personal, but I feel secure in the fact that they're not going to stand up in front of a room full of strangers and give them any information anyway. That's just me.
What if it's information they want out there?
If it's information you wanted out there, why would you do it at the combine?
Because this is the only time you're going to talk?
No. I mean, all he'd need to do is come back here and have a press conference about...
But there's no press conference for him to have until they sign free agents.
Start of free agency. You could come back here Monday morning and have... We're going to have a press conference to discuss free agency.
I mean, you could have a press conference talking about scratching your rear end. People would show
there
up. You're
you
the general
go.
Manager of the Titans.
That's
if
exactly
the Titans
right.
send out a press release saying the general manager is talking, people
and
would know.
If he wanted it out there, I think he would be more inclined to do it that way than to do it. I mean, what other news is there? All 32 teams go to this thing, and when their head coach and their GM come up with something, they are all back to their stations in that city talking about what their head coach and GM said. It's just like you brought up Arians in Tampa Bay. What do you think they're talking about today in Tampa? Exactly what he said.
How stupid is Bruce
Arians? And I think every one of these guys has done something in their city, and they're discussing it right now in their city. Well, this is what... You know, so-and-so said in this and that. Okay, cool. I mean, I understand it. And like I said, I have no problem with it.
Let's go to your phones. Corey, up next here on Jared and the GM on free agency. Go ahead, Corey.
Hey, guys. This is more of a question for Floyd. I know if this has been addressed, I apologize. But every GM has their own strategy and opinion. But in yours, from your experience, when you have multiple free agents like this that you want to keep, do you kind of give them all the same priority and just kind of let them fall in as they sign or don't sign as they may? Or do you kind of prioritize who you go after the hardest first? And if you were doing it, if it's the latter, how would you rank these guys that you'd like to sign them in and prioritize them? And I'll hang up and listen. Thanks.
Yeah, I think what they do is they will have a priority of, you know, 2, 3, 4, however many guys. But they will be contacting them all. And they will be talking to them all, even some of them that maybe they're not crazy about signing. Simply because if you can get a great deal on somebody that's down the line, that has been on the roster, that the players know them, and it's a real good deal for you, then fine. You know, sign them, bring them back. That's if you don't like them, you can change all that. With the upper echelon guys, you would like to... In this particular case, if you only have one tag, then that means if you've got 2 or 3 guys that you want to sign, then 2 or 3 of that group you need to get a deal on. And so you start talking to those guys a little bit harder, trying to find one of them or 2 of them that you have a chance to get a deal on. And whoever that may be, then I think you go ahead and get that deal. Then use the tag on the guy that's going to be the hardest, whoever that may be.
Texter to the text line says, irreplaceable may have been the wrong word choice. Talking about Buck's column on Derrick Henry. Irreplaceable may have been the wrong word choice. Most dominant at his position is more like it. And I would argue you could say the same thing about Brett Kern. Like, Brett Kern may be the best punter in the NFL, and Brett Kern is a huge part of the Tennessee Titans.
Right.
The one thing I will say about Henry is I'm not, you know, to Buck's point about irreplaceable, you're not the same team if Derrick Henry's not the running back of the Tennessee Titans.
Right.
But you're also not the same team if you don't have a lot of the guys that are on your team. Now, could you lose Corey Davis and still be the same team? Yes. Could you lose Nate Davis and still be the same team? Probably yes. But there's a handful of guys, Tannehill, A.J. Brown, Henry, Byard, Lawan, Landry. Like, there is a group of guys that you could not lose and still be the same football club.
The problem you have is whenever you lose a guy, like a, let's just say Derek, just for the sake of argument. If Derek were to decide to go someplace else, wherever that may be, then you're going to have to go and get one someplace. And it's not going to be cheap, that position. You're either going to draft very, very high or you're going to pay a free agent a bunch of money. So, but the point being that you don't gain any ground on those deals. You know, you're kind of right back where you started, mm-hmm. except now you're a number one draft choice, or you're, you know, X million dollars in the hole because you had to spend for somebody to come in and play that spot. That's what you want to keep from. If you want to, you know, you want to try to make progress all the way across here. So you say to yourself, okay, we've got all of these guys back. We're in place. We're ready to go. Now what do I really need? Draft a pass rusher. Fine. Let's go and get our pass rusher. You know, use all our free agency currency, use our draft choice currency, whatever it is to get that position. And I think you take those one at a time.
Like, I saw Charlie Casserly's latest mock draft, and he has Jonathan Taylor, the running back at Wisconsin, going at 29 to the Titans. And I'm thinking to myself, the Titans really don't need to be in position to draft a running back at 29. I mean, they need pass rushers. They need sackers. They need, and we talked last year with Trevor Maddich before the draft, and I said the only position I don't care if it's linebacker, outside, defensive end, I want sackers. S-A-C-K-E-R-S. Sackers. And they need sackers. Well, if you lose Derrick Henry and thus have to draft Jonathan Taylor or J.K. Dobbins or something like that, then it limits your ability to get a sacker. Now, I still think Melvin Gordon is an intriguing idea for the Titans. Because if you lose Henry and you have Melvin Gordon, Melvin Gordon's probably not the dominant runner Derrick Henry is, but boy, does he open up the passing game. And what you can do on the play action and all the things, if Gordon's running hard and if Gordon's paid and if Gordon's not going to be a pain in the butt and if Gordon's not going to be hurt, which are all important.
Which he always is.
Then you've got it. I mean, then there's a chance that Melvin Gordon is pretty good, but it's not a risk I want to take. Matt says running backs are a dime a dozen and a good quarterback is hard to find. Therefore, I say keep Tannehill and lose Derrick Henry.
Just from a positional standpoint. You know, again, I mean, there's no, it's hard for people to grasp, but I mean, the quarterback position is so much more important than literally any position on the field that you always, if you have a choice and if you like your guy, you know, he may not be the best in the league. Like we were talking before, from a positional standpoint, I mean, Derrick Henry is much better to being much closer to being the best in the NFL at his spot than Tannehill is at his spot.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that being said, if you gave, you know, 90% of the league, 95% of the league that didn't have a quarterback or didn't have a running back, which one they wanted, you know, they'd go with the quarterback.
I don't think there's any doubt about that. People need to remember that you were 2-4 with Derrick Henry as your starting running back when Ryan Tannehill took over.
Yeah.
But to your point, though, about best in the league, A.J. Brown's probably a more valuable player than Brett Kern. Like, A.J. Brown, if they were both free agents, would get more money than Brett Kern. Brett Kern's closer to being the best punter in the league than A.J. Brown is at being the best receiver in the league.
Right.
I mean, positional value does matter
and it depends on who you are. I mean, the punter would have value to a few teams, but overall throughout the league, I mean, a receiver or a corner or whatever would have more value than a punter, for example.
615-737-1025 is the phone number. 615-737-1025. What do we think about the franchise tag as it applies to Ryan Tannehill and how he would receive that and how players receive the tag? We'll get into that coming up, as well as a bad grade for David Poyle. We'll discuss as well. All coming up. Jared the GM, it's ESPN 102.5 The Game, and we're streaming on the Game Nashville app.
Well, here's where we're going to get a gauge of whether the Tennessee Titans could potentially be players for Tom Brady, because if they put the franchise tag on Ryan Tannehill and they can begin to do that starting Thursday, that would essentially take them out of any talks and discussions for Tom Brady. If they don't use the franchise tag on Ryan Tannehill, then that would leave them in play for Tom Brady, potentially, if that was a route they decided to go. But you can't tag Tannehill and go after Brady. You can't do that. So we could get a glimpse of what the Titans' thinking is starting on Thursday.
That was Adam Schefter on ESPN talking about Tannehill, and the tag opens up tomorrow. It's a weird situation with the franchise tag. It opens tomorrow, but you have until, I think, March 5th. To tag Ryan Tannehill. In fact, I actually have the exact memo from the NFLPA right here. So let me pull up those dates. But the franchise tag, I think, is certainly an option as far as Tannehill is concerned about what they may do, may not do. I don't know. But it opens up, but it's weird because of the CBA. Here you go.
I think they just moved it back a couple of days.
They did. So it opens on tomorrow. It opens February 27th and ends at 4 o'clock on Thursday, March 12th. So about 4 days before free agency opens up, the Titans have until March 12th to franchise Tannehill. Well, they won't franchise Tannehill tomorrow, but they do have until March 12th to franchise Tannehill. But it's weird because you get two tags, but if a CBA gets ratified and say you use two tags, Tom Pelissero reported earlier today that the NFLPA then expects you to void one of those tags. So, for example, if the Titans tag Tannehill with a franchise tag and transition Conklin, and then they ratify a new CBA and you can only use one tag, then the Titans have to pick one of those two players and take the tag away. What would be crazy is, what if the two players sign the tag?
Yeah, that's what we asked yesterday. I don't know how they'd work that out. If you tagged them both and they both signed it, because those are binding contracts, they'd have to jump through some kind of legal hoops. And then I'm just guessing, but, you know, if Conklin or somebody was expecting to make 15 mil a year and they went through all those hoops and he ended up making 12 mil a year, there may be a few, you know, lawsuit or two involved there, but I don't know much about it.
Shane texts into the text line, do players consider the tag an insult, and would Tannehill consider the tag an insult if John Robinson gives it to him?
I'm not sure they consider it an insult. They don't like it for really one main reason, which is they, on these deals, like these 3-, 4-, 5-year deals, the amount of signing bonus that you get is significant, and it is something that you can, not always, but you can get, like, right now. So if you sign a $35 million signing bonus contract, if you, you know, it may be such that the club just writes you a check for $35 million. Now, not many people want to take it because of taxes and other issues, but what you do is that money is guaranteed at that point in time. And so that, you know, the under the tag is going to be $27 million as of right now. So, you know, if you sign that deal, that's guaranteed too, but it's a 1-year deal. You know, the other one, you've got that $35 million that is not only in your pocket, but now you've got a salary for the next 3 or 4 years that you work your way through and see how, you know, how that plays out. So there's a lot more money involved in one. The other one, the tag, is a lot more money than what you've ever made, probably, but is still not as much as signing a big free agent contract.
Ian Rappaport of the NFL Network was today talking about the Titans and Tannehill and their situation. This is what he said the Titans are going to try to do.
If a team must vacate a tag, that basically means they only have one tag, which should mean the free agent class dramatically gets better. I mean, you mentioned the Bucks. They either have Shaq Barrett, who's, you know, one of the best sack artists in the NFL, or you have Jameis Winston as a free agent. You either have Derrick Henry or Ryan Tannehill as a free agent. It really does, or Amari Cooper or Dak Prescott. Dak's obviously not going to be a free agent, so Amari Cooper now goes into the pool. Dramatic impact on these teams. We're going to see some teams, like the Titans, for instance, going to try to get a deal done with Ryan Tannehill before the window closes to try to lock him in.
So they're going to try to get a deal done with Tannehill, according to Ian Rappaport. Now, Robinson said the other day that they haven't even started talks yet, which I'm not sure I believe. But I do think Robinson wants to sign Henry and Tannehill and then use a tag on Conklin, and then I think he'll be okay.
Yeah, that'd be great. If you get those deals done and then use a tag, yeah, that'd be super.
The question is what is Tannehill looking for?
Yeah, and we don't know that. And therein may be the crux of the problem. That's why you would, if you wanted to do that, you would still be talking to Jack. Because if, and I'm just throwing numbers out, Tannehill says, no, I want $35 million, and you're prepared to pay him $30 million, And Jack says, I want $14 million, and you're prepared to pay him, you know, $13.5 million or $13.75 million. Well, it's going to be a lot easier to get a deal done with Jack than it is with Ryan.
So and then you just slap the tag on Tannehill.
You just get the deal done
and
with Jack.
And I think that was kind of the
then
part.
Use the tag on Tannehill.
And part of what Rappaport said there was the idea of, you know, they're going to try to get it done before the window closes, but with the implication that if the window closes and they can't get a deal done with Tannehill, then they'll slap the tag on him and they'll, you know, live life with their quarterback. I wonder, too, Bruce Arians had a crazy comment yesterday that I could not believe that a head coach in the NFL would say what Bruce Arians said yesterday on the NFL Network as far as their quarterback situation. And I wonder if Tannehill is the guy behind door number two. Just remember that, Tannehill, door number two, behind what Bruce Arians is talking about here.
We know what we're going to do, and we still just got to see who else is available because you have to do your due diligence. You don't really know who's available till the tags come out and all that stuff, if there's a guy really on the market.
Does Jameis know that you know?
No.
Okay. You want to tell? You look at the camera and tell him.
No, that's okay.
Okay. Text him. You've said before about door number two. Who's behind door number two?
Well, that's the thing. You see all these names. You've never seen a quarterback market with, like, Tom Brady and Drew Brees and Philip Rivers and all these guys that are potentially going to be out there. You don't know what trades might happen. So you really don't know who is behind door number two yet. Then you can make a decision.
Can I try to translate? Jameis is coming back unless there's somebody out there that you might prefer and you think you can get him. If you can get him, whomever that is,
right,
then that is your guy. Am I reading that the right way?
Pretty much it. I mean, okay. We can win with Jameis. There's no doubt about that.
I can't believe Arian said that.
Yeah, if you're Jameis, you're probably not thrilled to death.
And I wonder if Tannehill is the guy they're looking at. Like, I want the two guys I think that he could be looking at, he's not looking at Brady, he's not looking at Breeze, and he already knows Rivers is out there. I think the other two guys that you know, you're kind of looking at, could these guys be available at the quarterback position? One is Tannehill, two is Derek Carr. I wonder if Arians is looking at those two saying, now I like Jameis, but if I can get Derek Carr, then let's go make a move to go get Derek Carr. Or if Tennessee doesn't franchise Tannehill, let me go make a move for Tannehill, because I'd take Tannehill over Jameis Winston any day of the week.
Yeah, I mean, all those guys that are out there, I mean, you got Bridgewaters, you got all kinds of guys that are out there.
I know, but Bridgewater is going to be free. He's not going to be tagged because, again, Breeze is going to resign. Breeze has already said he's going to resign with the Saints.
All right.
So Breeze isn't going. You can't tag Bridgewater if you resign Breeze.
Right, but so, he's going to be available is my point.
I know, but Bruce made it sound like he's not sure who's going to be available till all the tags come out, and he wants to see who's going to be available. And I think the two guys who may be available, who also may not be available, are Tannehill and Carr. Everybody else is either available. Like, Andy Dalton has 1 year left on his deal, but the Bengals have already said they're going to trade him. So Andy's available. The two guys you don't know about are Carr and Tannehill, And I think that those are one of those twos who's Bruce is looking at. And if that doesn't come to fruition, then he goes back to Jameis.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, that could be. I didn't interpret it that way. I interpreted it not necessarily tags, but who's going to be available, you know. I mean, New Orleans could turn around and say, okay, we're going to sign Bridgewater too. That's what they did last time.
Yeah, but and I don't think Bridgewater wants the money now.
Well, Bridgewater had a chance to get the money last time and didn't go.
But, so, again, going back to who's available, he's still Bridgewater's still available, right, even if he goes back.
But I think he's thinking they could sign him. They still got, what, 3 weeks that they can sign these guys. So there'll be some guys that'll be signed that are taken off the market. My impression was that's what he meant.
615-737-1025 is the phone number. 615-737-1025. Coming up next, David Poyle. I think the fans are glad with what Poyle did or didn't do a Monday's trade deadline, but apparently not everybody feels that way. We'll get to that next. It's Jared and the GM right here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
David Poyle was saying yesterday one of the reasons he stood pat for the most part at the deadline was his confidence in this group right now. How do you see that and the challenge ahead of you here?
Yeah, we're taking good strides in the right direction. Overall, I think our record's getting better and better, and we seem to be somewhat clicking at the right time, and it's not going to be every shift. It's about the overall process of the game and night in, night out. And but things are looking up in this dressing room right now, and guys are starting to work harder and, like we say, embrace the grind. And I think we're, like I said, on the right path.
So I've heard a couple of things surrounding David Poyle's inactivity on Monday from a multitude of sources. On a lot of things. One thing I did hear was that there was like a sigh of relief amongst the players once the deadline passed and nobody of substance was getting moved. That the Predators players took, you know, a giant breath, you know, of fresh air when David Poyle didn't move anybody, didn't shake it up, didn't sell off, didn't do anything, that the players really did appreciate that. I heard that from one source yesterday. I also heard that the Predators just didn't get a ton of offers on the guys that people that we were expecting them to get a bunch of offers on, that a lot of teams didn't come calling, which doesn't make a ton of sense to me considering what Tyler Toffoli went for. Didn't make a lot of sense to me considering what JPG went for, etc. But I guess that's another sense is if David didn't get a high enough offer, he wasn't going to make a move. Now, I don't know if David did get a high enough offer, if David would make the move, but I did hear that. So the Craig Custance in The Athletic went and graded each team at the trade deadline. All 31 teams got a grade. For example, the Dallas Stars got a C. A lot of teams got A's. A lot of teams got B's. One team got a D. The Nashville Predators. David Poyle gets a D+, according to The Athletic. Quote, maybe this grade will be proven wrong. Maybe the Predators will right the ship and get into the playoffs and make some noise. But this trade deadline was an opportunity to reset for a moment, get some assets for UFAs like Mikhail Granlin and Craig Smith that might help in the offseason to address bigger needs. The Predators chose not to do that, so GM David Poyle apparently has seen enough good lately from his team to let it ride. What do you think of The Athletic giving the Predators, Craig Custance giving the Predators the worst grade in the NHL and giving them a D+ for their trade deadline inactivity?
Well, I haven't seen all the other grades, but generally speaking, those grades are probably like draft grades, which means the more choices, the more picks you have, the higher your grade's going to be. Whether or not they're good picks or bad picks, it doesn't make any difference. If you've got 10 picks, you're going to get an A. If you've got 4 picks, four could be all pros, you'll get an F or a D. And I think it's probably the same with this.
Although the Islanders made the biggest trade and they got a C-.
Yeah, I mean, you can screw it up too. But I think generally speaking, the guys that were the most active will get the higher grades. And the guys that did the least, you know, had the least activity probably get the worst grades. So I'm guessing that is us. I mean, let's face it, we didn't really, you know, we were kind of swapping spit there a little bit.
Well, the Predators aren't the only team that stood pat or that didn't make a big move, but they're the only team that stood pat that got a D. Again, the Islanders probably made the biggest noise with the most eye-opening trade, which was the one for Pagot, and they traded for Andy Green, and they still got a C-. So they made huge moves, did the Islanders, and Custance killed them with a C-.
Again, you can screw it up. I mean, just because you're making moves doesn't mean you're making progress. But generally speaking, you know, the more moves you make, you probably get a higher grade. The less moves, probably a lower grade.
Well, I don't get that from this, because a lot of teams didn't make a lot of huge moves, and every team got a grade above the Predators. I don't think it's fair to give the Predators a D+, only for this reason. I don't know what David got offered. I don't know what David got offered. I mean, I think Mikhail Granlin should have at least gone for a second-round pick, maybe a first. Like, I think a first was legit, you know, that the going rate for a rental player who is a top-six forward, which Granlin is playing like now, the going rate at the trade deadline is a first-round pick. And that's what Granlin is playing like right now. So I thought that a team would at least offer up a second-round pick for Granlin. And a second-round pick, in my opinion, maybe that was like the bottom basement of, you know, if you're going to sell Granlin, at least get a second-round pick. But if it's worse than a second-round pick, don't even worry about it. I'm not convinced they got a second-round pick from Granlin. From what I've heard, I'm not convinced they got a second-round pick offer for Granlin. And if you're not going to get a second-round pick offer for Granlin, you're sure as hell not going to get a second-round pick offer for Smith. So if teams are calling up and offering David fours and fives for Smith and Granlin, well, then it would be dumb to do that. And David would get an F in the grades for doing this.
F because, from Jared, the GM.
Anyway. Well, I mean, if he gave up Mikhail Granlin for a fifth-round pick, I'd have said, well, you might as well have just kept the guy and try to see if you can win with him. And I think that's what David ended up doing. So I want to know what David got offered, and you never will know what David got offered. You don't know what the choice was in terms of holding on Smith and Granlin. Now, if David got offered first-round picks, I saw Jeremy Gover put out a tweet that was something like, if you get offered a first-round pick for Mikhail Granlin or Craig Smith, don't you at least have to consider it? And I'm like, no, you don't consider it. You do it. If somebody offers you a first-round pick for one of those two guys, you do it. What I've been told, they weren't even close to a first. Now, I don't know how active David was shopping it, but like a draft grade is easier to assess, even though it's usually more wrong, because nobody really knows if any of these players are going to be good or not. It's just, where did you see Mel Kiper ranked so-and-so? So, oh, well, Mel ranked him high, and they drafted him low, so he must be good. But draft grades, at least you know what else was out there. That when you draft a guy at six, you know who are the five players you couldn't have drafted, and you know you could have had every other player after that.
Right.
In the trade deadline, they're giving David Poile a grade where we don't know what other teams were willing to pay them. And it's hard for me to think that knowing what some of these forwards were going for, again, Pagot for a first, second, and conditional third, and Toffoli for a high-end prospect, a second and some guy, and Craig Smith isn't worth a second or a third. But I just, you know, the more I have dug into this, the more I do wonder what David Poile actually got offered, if anything was close to anything out there. I mean, I wonder these things. What did David get offered before I can judge what David did or didn't do at the deadline?
Yeah, I would agree with that. I mean, the hard part is, and this is hard for people, if you're the hometown group, you always think your players are better than other people do.
Even me?
Yes, even you. Especially you.
Oh, no, with this team?
I think if you, and it's hard for you to fathom, you know, that a guy that you're willing to trade is not worth a first. When, in fact, there probably are really very few guys that are worth a first.
Oh, no. I mean, there were a bunch of firsts that went by Monday.
Well, it doesn't make them worth a first.
No, no, but I'm talking about guys that were dealt for first.
You mistake what clubs give up and what their worth is. I mean, it's like that whoever gave up all those draft picks for the one guy. I mean, you know, first and a second and a third. And I mean, that's dumb. That doesn't mean he's worth a first and a second and a third. Just because you find one dumb club that's willing to give that up. And because you can't get a second doesn't mean he's not worth a second. You just can't find another dumb club that, you know, is willing to do that.
I know, but there were so many dumb clubs that were going out there on the deadline giving away picks that I was surprised that Granlund didn't garner one of those dumb clubs.
Then if that's the truth, he's not worth what you think he's worth. So he's not worth a second or third or first or whatever it was.
I mean, I don't even think Granlund's that good. Like, I'll be completely frank with you. Like, I don't like either of these guys, Granlund or Smith or, you know, it's like today. I mean, I think that I value the Predators at what they, like the individual players in the Predators, I feel like I value them at what they are. I agree with you that hometown people, generally speaking, overvalue their own guys. Yeah. I think I value this team at what it is, which is why I'm not too excited one way or another about the rest of this season, what they could do, etc. But I do look at that, and I just it's hard for me to get mad at David Poile. Like, if David Poile turned down first round picks because he wants to give it a shot with Craig Smith on his team this year, then I would go bananas.
There's no doubt.
Hard
in my
for me
mind
to think that he did that.
What he did was exactly what we thought he would do, which is you look at what's there, you look at what you're being offered, and you say to yourself, okay, is this exchange rate worth it? You know, is it worth what it's going to do to the team? Is it worth what it's going to do to the coach? Is it worth what it's going to do to the playoff picture this year? And if you can't say, yes, it is, yes, it is, yes, it is, then it's something you probably don't do. But, I mean, and so obviously from his standpoint, I mean, he had a bunch of no's there. You know, it was, no, that's not going to be worth it. No, that wouldn't be worth it. And if that's the case, then you are better off. It's not worth it to make a deal just to make a deal.
Mm-hmm.
That's not worth it. And it doesn't matter, you know, when it is. And I think there are some guys that think, well, if I go into free agency and don't come out with a deal, I'm going to look like a dummy. Well, it may be the smartest thing you've ever done, not doing that.
We talked about the same teams every year spend a bunch of money in free agency in the NFL.
You end up with duds, and you end up cutting them next year and taking a giant cap hit for dead money. And, you know, it's lose, lose, lose down the line. And you do that a couple years in a row, and you're in last place because you can't win games.
Jacksonville stinks, has no cap space, and doesn't like their quarterback who they can't move.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a tough spot to be in. So, again, I just thought it was a little harsh to give David Poile a D when we don't know what he was being offered or what he wasn't being offered. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. Willie McGinnis, a Vrabel friend, comments on what he thinks the Titans should give Ryan Tannehill. We'll get to this next, and if the Titans are hell-bent on doing this, how does it open up the negotiating window or play into their hands? We'll discuss next. It's Jared and the GM right here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Speaking of the Predators, ESPN 102.5 The Game is hitting the road for a Preds game this year. It's off to Columbus as the Predators take on the Blue Jackets at Nationwide Arena on Saturday, March 14th. Tickets on sale now. To purchase, visit thegamenashville.com. Trip organized by Simply a Fan. Visit simplyafan.com for other upcoming sports adventures. Transportation provided by Gray Line of Tennessee. Jared and the GM, it's ESPN 102.5 The Game. We're streaming on the Game Nashville app.